Welcome to a Prevent Connect podcast, where we explore the prevention of violence against women. This is a project of the California Coalition Against Sexual Assault. The following presentation takes place at the 2009 Minnesota Summit to Prevent Sexual Violence. Jim McDonough, Minnesota's Ramsey County Commissioner and President of the Association of Minnesota Counties, discusses how he became committed to sexual violence prevention.
The theme here, owning the problem and the solution, and a couple other words here that I'll use, waking up and stepping up, goes back to about 2.5 years ago, a 7 o'clock breakfast out in D.C. with a bunch of commissioners about normalization of sexual violence and harm in our community. And most of the commissioners, of course, are there to get that breakfast to start off the day and maybe network with some of the people that only get to see a couple times a year at these national conferences. And what's my role here, both in advancing the normalization of sexual harm and violence in my community? Not necessarily on purpose, but just what's my role in how I behave every day, both in my professional and personal lives? And then what have I been doing, or what's my role, or what can I do as an elected official? What can I do as a man? What can I do as a member of my community? I'd like to do here with my short time here with you today is share with you a couple of my experiences, both in the professional life as an elected official and then in my personal life, that waking up, stepping up, owning the problem and the solution makes a difference. I'm not naive enough not to recognize that Jim McDonough, as Jim McDonough, can't really necessarily do a lot in influencing policy, but Ramsey County Commissioner Jim McDonough can do a lot. When you have that title, when you sit in that chair, when your name is on that door, you have an opportunity to really do some things. And I made a commitment to myself that as long as I can sit in that chair, as long as I can open that door with my name on that, with that title, I'm going to maximize that opportunity. Ramsey County, we started an initiative. I felt we had to start at home. We had to start within our own county. So I met with our county manager, and we talked about some of the things that maybe we should be doing. And the first thing we did is we needed to take an assessment in the county of what we're already doing, both as a service provider in the community in many different areas, but then just as importantly, what we're doing as an employer. We have 3,400 employees that are part of our system. And what are we doing as an employer to provide a safe environment to be a leader, and recognizing that as an employer, we have a role here with all our employees. And the county manager's first response back was, you don't want public health to do this or Parks and Rec. And I said, no, every department needs to do this. Our Parks and Rec people have lifeguards at our beaches, and they run ice arenas, and they come into contact with the public every day, and they're employees in our system, and everybody needs to be a part of it. We did this assessment, and actually I'll share with you, we've got some great, strong leadership in Ramsey County. Rob Fulton from Public Health is here. He's been a strong supporter. But actually, one of the leaders that has risen in the county is actually Greg Mack, our director of Parks and Rec, because he was exposed to that, because he was asked to take an assessment in his department about what they're doing, both as a service provider, but as an employer. And then we took all that assessment and we kind of plugged it into the 6 levels of the spectrum of the prevention of, and started formulating a plan in Ramsey County. About the same time, I was elected to be president of the State Association of Counties, so we carried that message to the state to try to get other counties engaged, stimulate and challenge other county commissioners to step up. Am I happy how far that's progressed? No, but I can tell you we're pleased that we've got work going on in Olmsted County and St. Louis County and Clay County and Rosso County. It's throughout the state. And whenever I'm at an association event, I get more commissioners coming up and asking me, what are you doing and how is it working and what kind of results are you getting there? Why are you doing this? As we continue along in that avenue, both at Ramsey County, both at the state level, actually I've gotten involved at the national level. There's a county commissioner in Atlanta, Nancy Boxwell, and a county commissioner in Fort Lauderdale, Broward County in Florida. And we've been working on sharing what we're doing within our communities, but we're working, our next annual convention is actually in Reno, Nevada. But we're talking about, all right, so what can we do here about maximizing this opportunity? And right now we're talking about really doing a session there about trafficking. Because I can tell you there isn't a county in this country that doesn't have young children ending up in Nevada. I mean, we all understand the issue of trafficking. It's all over and it's into our community, but it's out of our community too. And so right now we're taking a look at what we can do in connection with that convention in Reno about the issue of trafficking our kids, our women in the sex trade industry. We're getting some really good legs there, both with the leadership at the national conference to really make this a big issue as a part of that conference. As I was reflecting and sorting out after that presentation from Cordelia about my roles both in kind of perpetuating this normalization, this shift in this collective value in our society about what's important and how we treat people and how we send messages, and then also my role and what I should be doing about that, I knew from the beginning that I couldn't just do this as a professional. You can't just say that I'm going to do this stuff as a county commissioner, but then walk out that door and go home to my family, go into my community, and not continue that work and not take that ownership that this is something that I need to live every single day. Each and every one of us make hundreds and maybe thousands of choices every single day. And I can tell you that every single one of those choices, there isn't a moment that I don't pay attention to preventing sexual violence in my community within, you know, that choice. And to make a conscious decision about if I'm willing to step up. And I'm going to share a couple of examples here about how just being willing to step up can really make a difference. And this first example I'm going to use actually goes back to before I was engaged and I was doing this and I didn't even realize it. But my daughter, I have three boys and one daughter, and my daughter was in the eighth grade, graduating from eighth grade, big deal, you know, 13, 14-year-olds, small class, 13 girls in the class, and of course, out to pick out the dress. And I happened to be along when we went to do that, and of course, the first dress she gravitated to was like, no, you're not gonna do that. And, you know, her reaction was really, pretty traumatic, you know. But, you know, as I started sorting this out with my wife, it was like, you know, she's not picking out the dress that would gravitate her to by a choice that she's really making. It's really being driven by the media she's exposed to. It's being driven by the popular culture she's being exposed to, that she's being gravitated to a dress that, you know, would be a choice for a 25-year-old woman to wear. And that's a choice for that woman. But as a 13-year-old, she's been convinced, or normalization in our society has put it, that we're going to sexualize our 13-year-olds and accept that as normal. And so after three trips to the store, about 12 hours worth of dress shopping, multiple tears, a few very emotional words, we actually agreed on a dress. And she was really happy, and we were happy. And so we go to the graduation, and we walk in there, and this first vision is 12 girls in dresses, and they're pulling and pulling, and they're red, and they're totally uncomfortable. I mean, they are just, like, extremely uncomfortable. And my daughter walks in, and she's smiling, full of self-confidence, and being able to run around and do whatever she wants. And immediately, parents are coming up and saying, how did you get your daughter to agree to wear a dress like that? It was a lot of work. But the point is, and the rest of the night, she was able to do that with complete comfort. And there wasn't a moment during that whole entire night that those other 12 girls were ever comfortable. I mean, they were flushed with, their faces were flushed with embarrassment, fright, all these emotions, because they were convinced that they needed to be presented in a way that they weren't ready for, that it was not at their level. And it was just this normalization in their society, not only the normalization for those girls, but the normalization for their parents to accept that and actually be a part of that. And those are unconscious decisions that are happening to us every day if we don't wake up, we don't step up. I'll share another story here about owning the solution and the problem. I'm really involved in my community in many different ways with youth. I've been working with youth in my community for 30 years. And in a lot of different boards, booster groups, volunteer groups, and a lot in athletics, but not all in athletics. And so the soccer group I'm involved with, we're talking about buying Spirit gear, sweatshirts, and the sweatpants and stuff for the kids to wear to show team pride and stuff. And the conversation is, for the boys, we're going to have this sweatshirt that the slogan and the logo signals teamwork, strength, dignity, it's respect, all the things that you would want spirit gear to signal. And then we start talking about the spirit wear for the girls, and it's a cute saying on the back of the sweatpants. And it's like, okay, now this is the time here. Am I going to step up? I woke up. I recognized that situation. I was awake. But now am I going to step up? And I did. In a non-confrontational way, I just raised the issue. Wait a minute. Let's think about this. We're treating the boys and girls differently about, first, how we value them as soccer players and sending that message that the boys are this level for soccer and the girls are at this level. But we're treating them different on the messages that we're expecting them to carry as a team. And, of course, there was some pushback or dismissing it. I pushed, and we continued to have a conversation around the table. In the end, we agreed that the spirit wear for the soccer program was going to be the same for the boys and the girls, and it was going to show teamwork, respect, strength, dignity, all the things that we expected. The next season's hockey, different board. Same conversation starts occurring. This board's all men. The other board was mixed, moms and dads. And so we're having the same conversation, and I didn't mention, but these associations are for kids like from 8 to 18. So, I mean, this was like 8-year-olds that we were asking to go out to do this as well as our teenagers. But I raised the same issue, and I got a lot more pushback, especially because it was all guys in the room, dismissive and actually some anger being exhibited that I would even raise the issue, that it even made a difference. That conversation worked out a little differently. In the end, they became convinced that we needed to treat the boys and girls differently, but the response was, we're just going to put it on the sweatpants for everybody. So the boys and girls team would just say that. So we're not treating them different. I'll tell you what, when they put that out for the kids and the parents to purchase, there wasn't a single boy that bought a pair of sweatpants to wear. There was not a single boy that did that. So in the end, they'll never do that again. We got to that result a different way. The adults in the room wouldn't accept that this was going on or make the connection or be willing to, even if inside they felt uncomfortable or recognized through that conversation, they weren't willing to step up and be a part of that, owning that solution. And the boys' motivation probably wasn't necessarily recognizing that they were a part of preventing sexual violence by any means. It was more about their self-confidence and not wanting to wear something on their back end as they're walking down the hallway at school, but probably was more powerful than the conversation we had where we actually never did that in the soccer program, because I think it made the adults in that program think about, if my boy's not willing to do that because he feels uncomfortable doing that, what about my daughter? But I'm sending a message to my daughter that that's normal, that's accepted. I honor the work that people do in this area every single day and has been going on for years and years and years. And I am extremely happy about the high number of people that have attended this summit that don't have the connection to this area, that are coming either to learn about what they can do in their area, just be exposed to the problem. And my goal here would be that hopefully me or any of the other speakers throughout the day will connect with you like I got connected, that you will reflect about what you're doing in your professional life and in your personal life, and wake up and step up and own the problem and the solution. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this Prevent Connect podcast. Prevent Connect is a project of the California Coalition Against Sexual Assault, with funding from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. The views presented on Prevent Connect are not necessarily the views of the United States government, the CDC, or CalCASA. To learn more about Prevent Connect, visit www.preventconnect.org. For more information about CalCASA's mission or to show your support, visit calcasa.org. That's CalCASA.org.